2 Kings 1, we have this account of Elijah calling fire down from heaven to destroy these, as he sees it, apostate people. They ask him to come down from the hill, and he responds by saying fire is going to come down. So he sees himself as sort of the fire or the judgment of God. And he doesn't get it. I mean, in 1 Kings 19, God has effectively fired him from being his lead prophet because exactly of this attitude, thinking that I only am any good. He disregarded Obadiah, disregarded the prophets, the 100 prophets that Obadiah had hidden in caves. He disregarded the 7,000 whom God said he had reserved for himself who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Something was wrong with this one, with that one, the other one. Only Elijah was right, and he still hasn't really learnt this. And so he calls down fire from God and burns up 50 people. He has no value, no sense of the value of human life or the meaning of the human person or the potential of it. And he does it again, so there's 100. Now, fire came down upon Sodom, did it not? And it destroyed Nadab and Abihu. But in both those cases of fire from heaven, the faithful pleaded with God, Abraham and Moses and Aaron pleaded with God not to do this and interceded. Whereas Elijah comes over as totally on the opposite side, calling down fire from heaven upon these people in judgment. And why did he do this? Well, I think his slaying of 2 groups of 50 contrasts with how Obadiah had saved the lives of 2 groups of 50 prophets of Yahweh. And he does this, I suppose you could say, because he thinks that he's more righteous than these people and that people are just rubbish because they're not believers as he thinks they should be. And you know, that attitude is alive and well in a lot of people in the Christian movement, unfortunately. But the real reason that is given, I think, is that he was fearful. He was frightened. That's why when the third captain of 50 comes to him, the angel says to him, "Don't fear, but go down with him." So despite that bold facade, Elijah was very insecure. And it was his fear, perhaps of even of God himself, of others, even fear of himself, it was his fear that led him to his harsh judgments. And that is so clearly seen in a lot of those people who make a lot of trouble in church life, who are harsh and judgmental and calling fire down from heaven. It's their own fears. It's their own insecurities which are really speaking. They're not secure in their relationship with God, nor secure in their sense of their part in the body of his people. Well, Jesus, of course, refers to this because the disciples say, when they're by a Samaritan village that won't accept them, "Shall we call fire down from heaven as Elijah did?" And Jesus said, "No, you don't know what spirit you are of." In other words, you think that you're doing the right thing. You think you're so zealous. And yes, on one hand, God will work with you. Like, you know, this fire from heaven that Elijah called down, well, it was from God. I mean, it was a miracle that God did, and Elijah could never have done it in his own strength. And of course, it's similar to the fire he called down from heaven in the contest on Mount Carmel. But Jesus says, that is one spirit, but I want you to be of my spirit, which is different. And he goes on to explain to them that he has come not to destroy men's lives, but to save. It's actually not that attractive, believe it or not, to take that perspective. You think of Jonah. He didn't want Nineveh to be saved. He wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. And when God hears Nineveh's repentance and says, "Sure, I won't do it then," Jonah basically says to God, "Well, there you are. Told you so. Told you this right at the beginning. This is how you are, isn't it? You're always merciful and all that grace stuff." And Jonah pretty well quotes from God's own self-revelation of himself to Moses when he says, "I am a God who is gracious and forgiving, etc." So God was not to his liking. He wanted God to have the harsh, judgmental character that he had, even though that harshness and judgmentalism, as we've said, arose actually from his own fear and his own insecurity and his own fragility and insecurity behind his bold facade. Well, the third captain of 50 says to him, "Let my life be precious in your eyes." In other words, perceive, my friend, the value of every human life. And he's actually quoting the very words of Saul to David. He's asking Elijah to show the same spirit of grace which David showed to Saul. And God then intervenes through the angel and says, "Yes, Elijah, go down with him. Don't kill this man and his men." The Lord Jesus is prophesied in Psalm 72:14 that in his kingdom, the life of others will be precious in his sight. And this again is what this man says, "Let my life be precious in your sight." All this harsh judgmentalism is a reflection really of an inability to perceive the value of the human person, the preciousness of every life, including those lives that are apparently at this moment currently not given over to God. All the same, that is life, and there is a preciousness to it. And just as Elijah was out of step with God at this point, and yet still had God working with him because God let him call fire down, so the disciples were the same when they said to Jesus, "Let's call fire down on this Samaritan village." They were with the Lord, and yet they were also out of step with his spirit. So I think that this is part of the education of all of us, to move on from judgmentalism. Now you may say, "Ah, but I'm not judgmental." Well, I'm afraid we all are wired that way. We have a tendency to that, and it's rooted in our basic psychology, that we all subconsciously know we are sinners and we deserve the judgment of God, and yet to fess up and repent is so difficult for us, so it seems, and therefore we like to transfer that guilt onto other people and to stand over them and judge them. This is transference. And that is why all human beings, because we have this strong tendency to pride and to refusal to accept that we have sinned grievously against God and deserve judgment ourselves, we have this tendency, therefore, to be judgmental of other people. And you've got to move on from that, as the disciples were asked to move on, to the Spirit of Christ. Now, God is very patient with people while they are still in that judgmental phase of their life, as God was to me. And God likewise was to Elijah, in that he still gives him the power to do these miracles, to call the fire down on these two occasions. And yet the disciples were the same. They were loyal to Jesus. They were with the Lord. They were his people, and he spoke very highly of them. And yet they also, as he said, were not of his spirit. They didn't know what kind of spirit they had. And they were educated by him. And we've got to keep in with the program and move beyond that sort of primitive judgmentalism to the Spirit of Jesus.